Please take your Bibles and turn now, if you would like to follow along, to Psalm 119. When I've preached in Psalm 119 before, I'll often say that you can sit at ease. We're not going to look at all of Psalm 119 tonight. We're just looking at verse 9 through 16, the second section of Psalm 119. There's an outline in your bulletins if you'd like to use that. But let's once again give our careful attention to the Word of God. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9 and reading down through verse 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would help us to delight in it. Lord, enable us to meditate deeply on your precepts and fix our eyes on your ways. Lord, keep us from distractions. Teach us your statutes, O God. We need your help to understand your word and to take it into our hearts and to live by it. And so, Lord, speak and strengthen your servants now as we hear your word, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever found yourself knowing where you want to go, but not knowing how to get there? You could be hiking, it could be in your career. Could have to do with a financial or personal goal. You know where you want to go, you just don't know how to get there. And so you might look for someone who does know how to get there, someone who's been there before, and you might ask them, how do I get there? Show me the way. Well, in Psalm 119 here before us, a young man wants to know the way. Wants to know the way not to a successful career, not to a place on a map, not how to achieve a personal goal. He wants to know the way of the Lord. He wants to know how to keep his way pure, how to live a pure life. And so he asks in the opening line, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? And that's what we need to ask, and we need to seek to answer together tonight from God's word. Now, to some, that may sound like a really basic question. To some, it might sound rather irrelevant or dull. Tell me the way to a happy life. Tell me the way to a successful life, to prosperity. Tell me how to get through this week. How to navigate our cultural decline, the cultural moment that we're living in. How to win friends and influence people. But the question in verse 9 is a fundamental question. It's a fundamental human question. How do I live? What way do I go? How do I walk the Lord's way? The way I was meant to? What is life all about and how do I get there? In a sinful, unclean world, how do I live a pure life? Can I? Is it even possible? And friends, that question is relevant to all of us, whether we admit it or not, whether we're aware of it or not. And in Psalm 119, God gives us not just the question, but he gives us the answer. He shows us the way. It is by his word. His word is the map. His word is the answer to how to live his way. And his way is, in fact, the right way to live. His way gives peace and purpose and joy. The psalmist understood that and really answers his own question, teaching us that we need God's word in order to walk in God's way. God's word shows us the way. And so Psalm 119 calls each of you to see and believe that and live that out. Psalm 119 calls you to cherish the word of the Lord, to live by the word of the Lord, to yearn for it and walk by it. Cherish the word of the Lord in order to walk in the way of the Lord. That's what we want to see together tonight in God's word. Will you cherish his word in order to walk in his way? Are you cherishing it? Well, let's look at this together more closely, and I want to consider first the question that's raised here, and then we'll consider the answer that's given, and then we'll fill in some practical details after that. And so first of all, the question. Look again with me at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. How can a young man keep his way pure? Reflect with me on this question. The psalmist, presumably David, perhaps himself a young man, says, how can I keep my way pure? Or how can I cleanse my way? What is he speaking of there? Well, his way is his life. His way is the course that he's on. It's his actions. The Bible often describes life this way, as a way. You can be going the right way, you can be going the wrong way. You can veer off the way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way that leads to life, and that way is narrow and hard. Well, he wants to be walking in this way, in the right way, the Lord's way. He wants to keep his way pure or cleanse his way, as some other translations will say. Now, what he doesn't mean is cleaning himself up by his own work, his own effort. But what he means is rather increasingly living without sin. He wants to be living more and more without impurity, becoming more sanctified and holy, more good and godly. Yes, not entirely without sin this side of glory, but walking more and more away from sin, away from danger and temptation, and more in the way of the Lord. He wants his way to be conformed to God and to God's word. He wants to be set apart from evil. And this question really reveals a good, right heart, a heart that's humble and submissive, that takes God seriously, that takes sin and grace seriously. This is not the question of a proud, self-righteous man who just wants to outwardly clean himself up. He doesn't think that by being good, he can be saved. He knows that he's not pure. And that's why he raises the question here in verse 9. That's why he cares. He knows he's a sinner who often walks astray, who often does not have a way that is pure. And he doesn't want that. He's in need of grace and repentance. He needs God's help and God's word. And he knows God has an answer to his question. And God has grace to help him walk in his way. And this question raises a question for you. Are you asking this question? Have you asked this question? Do you know the answer to this question? Do you care? Do you want to walk in the Lord's way? Are you concerned that your way, your life be pure? If not, then what do you care about? If not, why is this not a concern for you? We all need to seriously ask and answer this question tonight. Are you asking this? Are you taking steps to keep your way pure, to answer this and live this out? One more thing that I want you to see is that young men, I think, should be particularly concerned for this. He singles them out, doesn't he? Not me. He singles out young men. And that's not to say older men or women or girls are off the hook here and living a pure life. But young men are the particular focus in verse 9. And perhaps that is because they're often not known for walking in the Lord's way. They're often not known for living a pure life. And so all of us, but especially the young men in particular, need to listen up and ask this question. This ought to be a question that we all ask and we all seek to answer in God's way and live out. Well, that's the important question. Let's now turn to the answer that's given second tonight. Let's consider the answer. Look again with me at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. The question begins to be answered in the very same breath. How can this be done? Well, by guarding it according to your word. Guarding your way by God's word is how you keep your way pure. Now, that likely doesn't surprise most of you. That's the Sunday school answer, if you will. On the surface, it's a simple, easy, obvious answer. It's the one you would expect in Psalm 119 as well. It's all about God's word. And yet it's far from simple to believe this and to actually practice this and live by this. One of the reasons that's the case is because our sinful hearts come up with so many other answers and so many other ways. And the world throws its answers at us. It's one thing to intellectually accept this and understand this, but it's another thing to live it out. By guarding it according to your word. That's the short answer that's given here. And the rest of this section of Psalm 119, and really the whole psalm goes on to answer that, the whole of Scripture. But here in this section, verse 10 through 11, let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so the short, simple answer is God's word, his commands. That's the answer. Now, there are other pieces to walking in the Lord's way that we could talk about. The need for the church, the Christian community, accountability, friends, the sacraments, prayer, and more. But the primary means, the primary answer given here is God's word. And you can read all of Psalm 119. It has so much to say beautifully about God's word. Verse 105 of Psalm 119 is well known. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And kids, I want you to think about that picture of God's word. God's word is like a light to show us where we are, where we ought to go, to show us the way, to show us what to avoid. And if you were to try to walk on a trail at night without any light, you would probably trip or get lost or get off your way. But if you have a lamp or a light, you can see the way. Well, we can't walk in the Lord's way without the Lord's light, without his word. Without it, we are in the dark. We can't know who we are. We can't know where we are going. We can't know what to avoid. We can't know of our sin. Or even more importantly, the Savior, the only Savior. We can't know how to serve and honor God. Are you living in the dark? Are you trying to walk without God's word? Are you trying to walk by some other light or some other answer to this question? To walk in the Lord's way, you need the Lord's word. It is the only infallible rule for faith and life. It's the only rule to direct us how we are to glorify and enjoy God. And so, friends, hear his word, know his word, listen to it, cherish it, be consumed with it. Let it be your answer. Let it guard your way. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, says, his word is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. His word is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, and equipping you for every good work. God has given us the answer. He's given us the key to life, to eternal life, to a pure life, to his glory and our good by his grace. It is his word. He's not kept himself or his way secret. His word is the answer published for all. And I think many of you know that. And this is not new for you tonight, but do you believe it? Are you living as though that were true? And if not, what is your answer to this question in Psalm 119? What is your guide? You need to realize that every other answer ultimately fails. And so look to God's answer. Look to his word. Well, that brings us to consider how to put this into practice a little bit tonight. And that leads us third to prayer. Prayer. Look with me at verse 10 again. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Notice how these words in verse 10 are directed to God. In one sense, this whole thing is a prayer, but there is a petition here in verse 10, a request. And what does he ask? He asks, let me not wander from your commandments. Lord, let me not go astray from your way. He knows he's prone to wander. He knows it's far too easy to wander from the Lord's way, and he knows he doesn't have the strength in himself to not do that. And so he asks for help. And then listen to verse 12. He says, blessed are you, O Lord. Here's another petition. Teach me your statutes. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. He praises God. He loves the Lord. He knows God is worthy of praise, of being blessed. And then he says with humble dependence, teach me. Teach me your statutes. Lord, teach me your word. And you know, he prays that same thing 8 times in Psalm 119. Maybe later tonight you could go and try to find the other times he prays that very same prayer. Teach me your way. This man is a disciple. He's a student. And God and his word is his teacher. He's not proud. He doesn't think he knows it all. He doesn't think this is easy. He needs help. He needs to be taught. This reminds me of Jesus' words in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is the part we forget. And teaching them. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching. For God's word to be effective. For God's word to guide us and guard our way. For us to be true disciples, we need teaching. We need to be taught God's word. We need to be taught how to walk in his way. We don't need just to be taught the outward facts and answers. We need the teaching only God can do, pressing his word into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, helping us to lay hold of it in faith. And for this, we need God's help. And so ask, Lord, teach me. Do you have that desire? Is that your prayer? Do you have this humility when you approach God's word? Lord, teach me. Teach me. I would guess that all of you at one time or another have asked someone, can you teach me? Can you teach me to cook? Can you teach me to bake? To change the oil on my car? Can you teach me how to balance a spreadsheet? How to catch the ball? How to swim? How to read or write? You've asked for help. You've asked to be taught. Well, we need to ask the Lord to teach us his ways. To teach us his word. We need to humble ourselves and go before the Lord and call upon him for his help. Ask him to help us cherish his word and learn his word. Ask for his help to not wander, to understand his word. And so, friends, pray. Use these very words. Pray before you read his word. Pray before you hear it preached. Lord, teach me your statutes. Lord, teach me your ways. Well, that leads us to the fourth and final point tonight, which is more of how we live this out, the practice. The practice. As the writer answers his question here in this section of Psalm 119, he pictures what being guided in the Lord's way by his word looks like. And as we look at these verses, we see that for him, it's all consuming. He was all in. He was committed to this. He cherished the word of God. He couldn't get enough of it. He was utterly devoted to it. And he also took practical steps to practical actions to live this out. You and I ought to do that as well, to walk in the Lord's way by his word. And so I want us to consider five practical steps to seek to answer this question, to seek to live the Lord's way by his word. How do we do this? Well, the first is to seek the Lord in his word. Seek the Lord in his word. Look again at verse 10. With my whole heart, I seek you. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. You notice the psalmist is not just seeking the facts. He's not just seeking information. He's not just seeking theology. This is personal. He is seeking you. The Lord, the Creator, the God, the only Savior. And his heart is engaged, isn't it? With my whole heart, I seek you. I'm all in. I'm not distracted. I want you, Lord. I want you to imagine reading a letter from a loved one far away. You get a letter from a loved one and you're reading it, but you're thinking nothing of them. You're just reading it to read and to get the information and the facts. Well, that's not how we would read such a letter, is it? And that's not how we are to read the Bible. The psalmist seeks the Lord in his word. He's reading God's word in a relationship, and that is how to read and hear God's word as a relationship, as an act of love and response and worship to a living being. Yes, there are truths to know. There are facts to learn and believe. But there is a person speaking that we need to come to know, that we need to seek and to love. I can't overestimate the importance of the heart here. Last week we spoke about guarding the heart. And the psalmist knows the importance of the heart. He's not just going through the motions. He's not just seeking outward purity or self-righteousness. He's seeking God with all his heart. And that needs to be the aim of all of our devotion to God's word. This helps keep us from wandering from God's way, as he prays here in verse 10. It's been my experience that those who are wandering from the Lord, and And it's true in my life as well. But those who are wandering from the Lord are rarely actively, wholeheartedly seeking the Lord and His Word. Their relationship to Him has been sidelined and they easily wander. It's sad, but it's no surprise. So friends, seek the Lord in His Word. Seek Him with all your heart. Second, hide. Hide His Word in your heart. Memorize His Word. Get it into your soul. Look at verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Hide His word in your heart. For God's word to be a guide, for it to be a means of grace, for it to help guard your way, you need to know it. You need to let it penetrate and get into your memory, get into your minds and your hearts. We talk a lot about the word of God being a means of grace, rightly. But it is not if we hear it and we so quickly forget it. And we think nothing of it the rest of the day or the rest of the week. If it doesn't guide and inform us, it's got to be hidden in our hearts. We've got to take it down into the inner man. Memorize it. Learn it. Meditate on it. Jesus said, don't just be hearers. And do you see why He stores up God's word in verse 11? One of the purposes, so that He might not sin against you. It is a practical help against sin. And so to walk in the Lord's way, hide His word in your heart. And kids, I know you have a lot of opportunities to do that, to memorize God's word. Take those opportunities. And adults, scripture memory is not just for children. Hide His word in your heart. Hide it not just in your head or your theology folder. Hide it in your heart. Third, speak. How do we walk in the way of God's word? Well, speak God's word. Recite it. Look at verse 13 again. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. The psalmist speaks God's word. He declares God's rules, His decrees, His word. He says them out loud. You know, they didn't have Bibles the way we do back then. And so if you wanted to know God's word, you probably didn't have a copy of it. You had to hide it in your heart, and you had to do that by repeating it again and again, by speaking it out loud. How do we speak God's word? Well, we can memorize it out loud. We can sing God's word back to Him. We can pray it. We can read it out loud in our homes. We can say it to ourselves at certain times in the day. Maybe in the early morning when we don't feel like we can get out of bed, we can say, the Lord is my strength. Remember what Deuteronomy 6 says, these words shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and rise. God wants His people to be consumed with His word, to be talking about it, to be repeating it, to be declaring it to themselves and to each other at all times and places, and particularly to our children. And so, friends, speak God's word in order to walk in His way. Fourth, enjoy. Enjoy God's word. Does that one surprise you? It shouldn't. Enjoy, delight in God's word. Look again at verse 14. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. And then verse 16 again. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The psalmist genuinely enjoys God's word. He delights in it. It's not a burden to him or a chore. It's not just this outward religious task that he checks off. It's his delight. I mean, it actually gets him excited. And over 10 times in Psalm 119, here's something else you can go look for. Over 10 times he'll say so, that he delights in God's word. And here he says he delights in it as much as in all riches. Imagine if you had all riches. All riches. And even if you were generous with it and you used it for good, God's word would be better. God's word is a greater treasure. God's word is pure delight. And so we ought to enjoy it. Cherish it. Yes, it's work. It takes hard work to study it. Yes, there are difficult passages. Yes, there is rebuke and correction, but we ought to enjoy and delight in and cherish God's word. It is our life. And our love for God's word, our delight in it, will drive out the lesser things that we're tempted and distracted by. God's words are the words of eternal life and truth. And so enjoy them. Rejoice in them in order to walk in his way. And then fifth and finally, in how to practice this, meditate. Meditate. Look at verse 15 again. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Meditate on God's word. To meditate is to ponder, to think about, to think deeply about. And even, again, it can mean to repeat it out loud. To fix our eyes and our thoughts on something. And he's saying that's what he's going to do. He's going to think about God's word. He's going to take time to mull it over and fix his eyes on it. To look at it long and hard. To study it and contemplate it and think about what it means and how he ought to live by it. Not just hear it or glance at it, but ponder it and let it penetrate. And I think this is a missing link for a lot of us today. We are so busy and so distracted. We are pulled in so many directions. We don't have the time, and really we should say we don't give the time for this. We lack the mental focus for this. Meditation is not emptying our minds. It's clearing our minds of other distractions and filling them with God's truth, with God's word. It could be one word, one phrase, one story. And we think about it, we mull it over, we ponder it, we meditate on God's word, we gaze into it, we cherish it. Meditate on God's word. Well, we could obviously spend much more time here. But to sum up some of the practical things we've spoken of, cherish God's word. Seek him in it. Hide it in your heart. Speak it with your lips. Rejoice in it and meditate on it. But most importantly, cherish Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the only way to the Father. I'm the only way of salvation. I'm the only way of joy. He's the only way of keeping your way pure. And he is the Word of God in the flesh. He is the fullest expression and revelation of God's word and God's truth and the gospel. He came from heaven to earth. He's the sum and substance of the whole word of God. He's the author of it. He's the one who completely, without fail, kept all of it. He's the one whose way was clean and pure, even as a young man. And we can read of his devotion to the Lord and to God's word, even as a young man at a very young age. You can read of him fighting temptation with God's word because it was hidden in his heart. And so to walk in the way of the Lord above all else, cherish and trust Jesus. fix your eyes on him. He gives you his pure way, his pure life. And then he gives you grace and empowers you to follow him, to walk in his ways. And if you're reading or hearing or memorizing, studying God's word and missing this word, missing Jesus, none of this will work. You're missing the point. And you're missing the way. You will miss the way. And you won't get where you want to go. Only Jesus can purify you. Only Jesus can make your way pure. Only Jesus can give you eternal life and joy and peace. Only his righteousness and his purity can save you and make you new. Only he perfectly fulfilled this psalm. He never once wandered from God's way. He never even forgot God's word. He never forgot it even on the cross. He stored it up in his heart. He spoke it with his lips. He delighted in it. He treasured it more than all riches. He fixed his eyes on it and he fulfilled it all for you. And so cherish him. Trust him. He is the way. He is the word of God. Seek him in God's word. How can you keep your way pure? How can you walk in the way of life? By looking to Jesus. Cherish him. Trust him. Cherish his word that reveals him. People of God, God calls you. He proclaims to you. He invites you to cherish his word in order to walk in his way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is a lot for us to take in tonight, and much of it is not new. But Lord, we ask that you would enable us to keep our way pure, not to earn your favor, not because this is something we can do in our own strength, but because you are our maker, you are our God, you are our redeemer. And you've made us to walk in your ways and to live for your glory and to respond to your love and your grace and your revealing of yourself with love for you and with being transformed into your image. And so, Lord, teach us your ways. Let us hide your word in our heart. Let us treasure it more than all riches. Let us seek you in your word with our whole hearts. And above all else, let us seek Jesus Christ and see him and trust him and treasure him. We pray it all in his name. Amen.